Today on VFN TV, we're going to hear the continued interviews with John Newland. These amazing stories, I'm telling you, ups and downs. They're so encouraging. They're challenging, but they're amazing. He says ordinary. I don't know. Just check it out.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So another story you talk about, you know, about the prophetic dreams, you know, what does this mean? You know, that, you know, when God first began to speak to you about things, talk to us about that, because he showed you something before it happened in a dream.
Right. Well, I had a dream, and I would call it a vision, because some dreams are just everyday things. In fact, Solomon says, who can tell about a dream? They're about the multitude of business of things. But there are some dreams are from God.
Right.
And in the Bible, over and over, a person has a dream, and it's like a vision. They see an angel, or they get an instruction. He told to name Jesus to... Or an angel came for that. But he told
Joseph
to flee the city in a dream. And, and many times,
there are
dreams.
In a dream.
Right. So to me, it was so, this particular dream was so technicolor plain and so vivid, and it was about church and God, that I want to call it like a God dream, like a vision. So I had the dream, and in the dream, I went in the back of a church. And when I walked in the back of the church, I saw that there was two main aisles, and I chose the right aisle, and I went down about halfway, went over, sat in the middle, and I looked down to the right, and there was a lady with a bun on the back of her head, and with a little girl, and there was a couple ladies somewhat dancing and raising praise their hand. I saw them. Then I looked at the pastor, and I looked at the pulpit, at the particular color it was, and the pastor, all of a sudden, said, we're going to jump for joy. And I'd never seen that before. The entire congregation in the dream began to raise their hands, and everybody in the congregation began to jump up and down.
Wow.
But me,
right,
in the vision. I looked over to the left, and there was a little bald man. And he was looking at me. And now he came walking around. I looked at him. He came around. And he, when he came around, he put both hands under my scapula. That's the bottom of your shoulder blade. And when he went kind of down like that, I knew he wanted me to jump. And so when I jumped, he kind of pushed up. And the entire congregation in the dream went right up through the ceiling, right up into the sky. And I got some kind of adrenaline rush that was like, whoa! And I looked around at everybody. And I thought, oh, is this a rapture? And I woke up. All right, so then I was working, running heavy equipment, and one of my best friends was named Red. And Red was rough, rough. But then we used to, well, I'm going to tell you what we used to do at work, okay?
But
we
BC,
used to, before Christ, okay? And we were we thought we were bad guys or whatever. And we would now meet at the water fountain and trade scriptures. He got saved.
Wow.
He got so saved. We're trading scriptures, you know. Red says, come on, go to my church. And I thought, well, I don't know, Red. It sounds a little different from my church, you know. I don't know about going to your church. I said, I don't think I'm going to take my wife. I'll protect her. I think I'll just come go visit your church.
It's got to be different. It's Red's church.
Well, they were having revival every single night. This is up in Tennessee. Every night in a revival. And I thought, that sounded a little strange. Because I was going to my church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Tuesday. And I was looking for a Wednesday night church anyway. I was hungry, and so I thought, okay, Red, I'll come visit this Wednesday night. I walk back at the back of the church, and I hate to use this term because it's got a bad connotation, but I thought to myself, this is deja vu. I've been here before. I looked, and there was the two aisles. I looked, and there was the same pastor up there and the same thing.
Just like the dream.
Just exactly like the dream, exactly like the dream. I went over in this aisle, and I went over and sat where I sat in the dream. I looked over, and there's the lady with the bun and the little girl, somebody praising God. And then the pastor said, and now we're all going to jump for joy. Everybody in the place began to jumping up and down, okay? Wow. I couldn't jump up. It was like in the dream.
Right.
Then I looked over, and there's the bald man. He stared at me. Here he comes around. This time, though, the only thing that was different, instead of touching me with two hands, he touched me with one hand. And instead of jumping up, he says to me up close to my ear, "Won't you come dance with us men?" And I said, "Yeah, I had to."
Wow.
I had to. So I went with him. I went over here, and these young men were dancing and spinning and twirling.
Awesome.
And I don't know. I'd never been in a church like that. I was so shy, and I couldn't even move and step in.
Right, right.
So then after
that
was all over.
Heavy equipment operator dancing, that's like.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so was Roy dancing?
No, Roy wasn't there.
Okay.
But Red.
Red.
I didn't see Red.
Okay.
So later, I began to inquire of the Lord. Right. Lord, what did this mean? Mm-hmm. And I've been taught that a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge sometimes come together. Mm-hmm. And so if you remember Peter, he got a word of knowledge when the sheet came down and said, "Go and eat." This is Peter. And he's in a trance, and he gets this word, and then he's supposed to go with these guys. About that time, they come riding up, and he goes with them. And then he gives a word of wisdom to a group where it says, men everywhere can be saved, okay? And he's speaking to Jews, and he's speaking to Gentiles at Cornelius' house. He's a Jew. He's not even supposed to go in there.
Right.
But all of a sudden, it's the beginning of where the Holy Ghost comes upon the Gentiles because the whole house is filled, and they spoke with other tongues.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right.
Awesome.
So I said, what does this mean? And I felt like, because I've been taught about this word of wisdom, that I got a word of knowledge, see, in this thing. And that when you worship the Lord with all of your heart, it'll take you to a place that's an upper, that's even a place of joy. You don't worry about the one on the left or the right.
Right.
You're not ashamed about yourself.
Right.
You're abandoned unto the Lord because it talks about worshiping Him with all your strength, all your might, all your mind, everything you got, okay?
Right.
So then I went, and it's like, the word of knowledge is dancing under the Lord.
Right.
It's like separating yourself under Him in a way.
David did it.
David danced. And he was a man. And then there's a song, and he would say, "I will dance like David danced."
Yeah.
So I began to kind of move a little bit in church, and I felt so weird. And it's like, I can't do this, okay?
Right.
And then in church, though, I would go back in the back so that nobody could see me because I didn't want the pastor to think, "Hey,
right.
You sure this is the unction, Newland? If it's not the unction, I'll haul you out of here." Okay?
John?
Ushers, let's take him out, okay? So I go back in the back.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you where it was. It was at Brownsville Revival.
Uh-huh.
And it was a little different on revival nights than it was on Sunday morning. This is Brother Kilpatrick said, "You don't dance unless it's under the unction."
Right.
"Don't do it unless it's under the unction," okay?
Right.
And so, but then we started, you know, dancing, and I'd be back in the back, and I'd start raising my hands, I'd jump for joy.
Right.
I'd jump for joy, and I'd say, "I'm just being obedient to the vision," okay?
Right.
And even to this day, if I'm in a service and I'm not feeling it, this is what I do, forgive me, but I act like I got something over me, like I got something like a big old cloth, or I'm tied up in a sleeping bag, and I reach up here, and I pull it down.
Yeah.
And this is, I do it, and I shake it off here,
I shake it off,
and then I raise my hands, and I'll jump for joy. Even in my church, we don't dance
Now.
We don't dance. I want them to dance. I guess this is going to go out.
Right.
I don't want you to dance, okay? I don't want you to dance
for
show or for attention or pleasing people.
Right.
That's not where it's at.
You
dance to the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would begin to dance in the back when we had revival, and I'd twirl around because that was the heavenly vision.
Right.
That revival was about a lot of things, mainly souls, but part of it was about freedom, shaking off the bondage of religion and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd pray for Brother Kilpatrick. I'd say, "Brother Kilpatrick, come on now.
Right.
Come on now. Dancing's okay if it's real."
Right.
It got so strong on one night, he was standing, he began to run in place. He said, I can't dance. I never been to a juke joint. I never drank a single drop. I can't dance, but I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you to dance.
Yeah.
Okay, to me, that was an answered prayer. It's an old, it's not in the book, but it's an ordinary man's experience with God. It's an answered prayer. And so now this man dances under the Lord just a little bit. I'm careful where I'm at. I'm praying for breakthrough. So that was the dream.
It's powerful.
It came to pass, okay? Right. And I've had others. We won't go to them, but I've had others.
Well, I think about, you know, David was so excited because God had done so much for him. He had a relationship since a young boy.
Right.
That's why God chose him, because he's a man of his own heart. And he wanted God to be with him. He wanted the ark of God's presence to be with him.
Right.
And so when he was coming and bringing the ark in, which means God was going to be with him.
Right.
He was so excited about it that he just danced. And when we understand the presence of God, and and to me, there's, you know, I guess from a man's perspective, because there's women love to dance, they dance all the time, but when masculine, when men go after God, there's something so powerful. When I remember a football player, he played with the Cleveland Browns, I don't know if he was a coach or a player, I can't forget, tough, rugged, masculine. But the presence of God would come down and he just began to dance, you know, and it was just so anointed.
Right.
You just feel the presence of God just drop.
Well, and there's a word that says praise is a weapon. See, we've got a warfare.
Yeah.
There can be like an attitude or a tone, so to speak, or a mood among the people. Mm-hmm. But as you begin to praise, it begins to break something in that atmosphere, see.
That's good.
And somebody that's discouraged begins to begin to have hope and look because it gets broken off of them. Yeah. So I shouldn't hardly say this because but I'm praying that I'll see dancing in my church.
Yeah.
That's going out there. That's my prayer. Another man, you pray for whatever, but this is what I'll see. I dance in my home and I'm praying to be able to dance at church.
Well, I just, you know, I've recently gone through some real situations that happened that would make you kind of somber or whatever. And in my prayer time, I'm praying with the Lord and similar to how you pray and seek the Lord. And, you know, I have music sometimes when I'm praying, but just the last couple of days, I've noticed that I think I got some pep in my step. I'm thinking, it's like this joy is coming back, you know, because I've been praying and praying breakthrough and all the things you're talking about.
Right.
But literally, it's almost like just a natural flowing dance thing began to happen. And when you've been through something, you don't care.
No.
You know what
exactly,
I'm saying?
Exactly.
And that his presence and that, I mean, David was a man's man. You know what I'm saying? And yet, it's just... There's just not, I mean, heaven's filled with dancing and worship and celebration. My goodness, crying, holy, holy, holy. Right. Anyway, so we're just getting started a little bit here. We'll be right back after this break with more of the interview from John Newland.
We'll be right back.
It seems to me that he is the one setting the stage right now. You know, a lot of people think that the president is in charge. No, he's not. A lot of people think that Congress is calling the shots. No, they're not. Or the Supreme Court, or Hollywood, or the EU, or Putin, or ISIS. No, ladies and gentlemen, none of them are in charge. Each and every one of them are simply playing their role because he is over all. He's sovereign over all. He's the one who has everything in control. They are just unwittingly serving his purpose, because even when we have someone like Pharaoh who oppresses God's people, he brings them into bondage. The reason he did that was because Stephen told us later in Acts chapter 7 that the reason this treacherous king did this to our people is because the time was drawing near for the promise that God had sworn to Abraham to come to pass. That's why.
Hey, I want to invite you to VFN Dream Center Church. Listen, we love family. We're focused around reaching the world. But most of all, we just want to be able to honor God and connect with people who want to honor God. Are you looking for a family? Are you looking for a church family? You're looking to be a part of somebody who understands the Great Commission is first to reach the world. Well, we're doing it, and maybe you're supposed to be a part of it. As a matter of fact, you can join us this Sunday at 10:30 a.m., actually 10:15 a.m. Or you can join us online at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, we're reaching the world together with the VFN Dream Center Church. We'd love to have you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
There's another story you tell, I think that's pretty powerful because it's about healing, about, you know, dip it in the muddy water.
Right.
That's a powerful story. Okay. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this happened on the job. We were about 50 miles away from our home base, and we'd moved our scrapers down there. Mm-hmm. And to move those scrapers, they're so big with no brakes.
Right. Heavy road gear you're talking about, building roads.
Yeah, building roads. We're finished building this road.
Uh-huh.
And so now we're going to move the scrapers through the mountains, looking out these beautiful vistas, riding on a scraper with no windshield.
No brakes.
And you use your steel blade, barely touches the road, and that's how you stop. But if you do it too much, the blade will burn up and you'll ruin an expensive steel blade.
Does it damage the road?
Not if you do it right, but I'm always afraid I'm going to make a chunk out of it.
Right, okay? Yeah.
But we're well tuned to doing it because every time we come off a hill with a load, you smooth your own road. So you get a feel for it. You become one with your blade, okay? All right, so we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all excited. We're fixing to move down the road.
Right.
But my buddy Red, who's the greatest scraper operator God ever made.
Okay.
I was a dirt hauler. Red was great, okay? Right. I could tell stories about that. But old Red, he was using a blowtorch about 6.5 feet down in a hole,
right,
cutting and doing some rebarb, right?
Mm-hmm.
And somehow he slipped and the blowtorch went across his left hand, went across his fingernails. And so he began to holler for John. We were buddies. Get John!
He's calling for you, John.
Because he wanted prayer.
Right.
All right, so, man, I come and I jump down in there, and there was a puddle of white marly water. It was nasty white. It was a mud puddle, but really it was white rocky water.
Right.
I jumped down in there. I didn't care about getting my boots wet. Red was burnt.
Right.
I looked at his hand, and as God is my witness, it looked like crispy fried chicken.
Oh, my goodness.
His fingernails looked like crispy fried chicken.
Oh, wow.
And so I went, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
And I began to say, what did I do? I inquired of the Lord. Okay. Have you heard that several times in this interview?
Mm-hmm.
You inquire of the Lord. You consult the Lord, whatever you do, if you can. So I said, Lord, what do we do?
Right.
Give us a key. When Jesus healed, it wasn't always the same. There's no formula, okay? And so one time he spat on something and made mud and put it in the guy's eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
He did different things. He reached out and touched the leper. It was against the Jewish law to touch a leper.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy comes to him and says, if you will, you can make me whole. He touched him with compassion.
Wow.
Man, he got completely healed. So I believe healing's for today. I don't know how it feels in your church. You know, it's different ones. You got to submit to your pastor. But I'm trying to tell you, Jesus is the same. This is scripture. Today, yesterday, and forever, okay? The Holy Spirit is on the earth to reveal Him to us, to show us the truth, okay? Jesus is the healer. He healed them all, okay? So, I believe that we can, by faith, not for our own purpose or anything, believe with the laying on of hands. The Bible says, if they'll lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. It's one of the signs of a believer.
These signs will follow those who believe.
Yeah, that's what it says.
So we're actually supposed to have signs following us. We're not supposed to be following signs.
Yeah, that's what I believe, okay?
Yeah.
So I consulted the Lord. I said, Lord, what do we do? Here's what I heard. Dip it in the muddy water.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
His hands are fried by this torch.
Right.
Okay.
And I heard, dip it in the muddy water.
Wow.
Red had enough faith in the Lord, but also that I could hear the Lord.
Right.
And so there's a story, and I'm not exactly sure the address, where there was a guy named Naaman that was a really hardcore warrior. And they had captured a woman from the Israelites, and now she was a maid to this guy Naaman's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, if only you could get Naaman had leprosy.
Right.
And he said, if only you get the man of God over in Israel to pray for you, you could be healed.
Right.
He goes, really? She goes, yes. Naaman packs up and he goes to see Elijah, I believe.
Right.
And Elijah's there and Naaman comes up there. He's expecting a great greeting. And
right. He's a general.
He doesn't even come out. He's a general. He doesn't even come out and says, go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River.
Muddy
Jordan River.
Right.
And he goes, I am insulted. Least he could have done was come out here. And now he's telling me to go there. I'm infuriated. And one of his men said, hey, dude, hey, chill a little.
Right.
If he'd have told you to do a hard thing, would you have done it? And he
thinks,
yeah, I would have. He goes, okay, I'll do it. So he goes and he dips in the muddy water 7 times. He comes up with his skin like a baby skin. He's healed, okay?
Wow. Yeah,
so that's the story I read by faith. So I got dip it in the muddy water. I said, here's what we do. You dip it in there 7 times, Red.
Oh, wow.
So we dipped it 7 times, okay? I said, I'll tell you what, Red, I'm not even going to look at it. I'm going to believe by faith you're healed.
Right.
Because the guy's hollering for us to load up. Let's go.
Right.
Red wraps it, gets up. He gets on his scraper. I get on my scraper. Red's driving one-handed. We drive 50 miles through the hills. It's a great day.
Right.
That night, we had a service at Red's church, okay? Uh-huh. So I said, Red, you going to church? He goes, you better believe it. I said, I'll be there. So I get to church. Red's down front. But he's got his hands up, and he's praising God. I said, Red, how about your hand? He goes, perfect like baby skin.
Come on, God.
Not a sign of any kind of burn whatsoever. I threw my hands up. In those days, I didn't do that.
Right, right.
I threw my hands up. The whole service, Red and I walked around while we praised God. He preached. We had our hands up in the back walking around.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah. That was a bona fide healing in my mind. Okay?
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, yeah. Praise God. From fried chicken fingers.
Yeah. To baby skin.
Wow.
Yeah.
God is awesome.
Yeah.
Listen, we got to go to a break. We're going to be right back and continue this amazing interview with John Newland.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
You know, there will be a time in your life when someone, something, some event might hurt you so bad that all you want to do in that moment is get back, get even, and take whatever you can from them. I can promise you this, guys. It's never about how much you can take. It's about how much you can give. Forgive them. That's why I forgave that guy for punching me in the street for no reason. That's why I forgave my mother for leaving me when I was a few months old. That's why I forgave my father for hurting me when I was growing up. That's why my brother forgave me for hurting his feelings. If you want real power, learn to forgive.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I like what you said in regards to pride. You know, you talk about, you know, that what kept Naaman for wanting to follow you know, was pride, and that, you know, when God gives us a word of knowledge, we cannot do it sometimes because of pride. But you said very specifically in your book about pride, you said pride is like bad breath.
Right.
Everyone knows you have it.
But you.
But you, yeah. Right?
Right.
Talk about it a little bit, because that's so important, you know, that sometimes we have to hear other people speaking into our life to help us listen. Like, this is what God's saying. This is what you need to do.
Right. Well, the Lord says to humble ourselves, that God gives grace to the humble, and that the pride he either shoes or puts back, he puts down in some way.
Yeah.
And pride cometh before fall, okay? So we want to be humble, right? If we recognize the pride. So to me, it's not wrong to be proud about your children or what they've done, okay? The wrong thing about pride is when you think you're like God. Satan got kicked out of heaven because I'll like him, okay? He became, I will, okay?
Right.
So that's what I keep wanting to try to say or get across.
Right.
I'm nothing without God.
Right.
I'm a worm. I'm nothing without God.
Right.
He's so big. He's the creator of the whole universe. How big is he? He's got a star he created that 5 quadrillion Earths will fit in.
Right.
How big is that? A quadrillion, so much more than a trillion.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Right.
Okay, so our God is huge. What, we're going to compare ourselves with him?
Right.
When we come into his presence, I think we're going to be on our face.
Yes.
Maybe even in Revelation for a half hour, nobody says a thing. Oh, it's not going to be our ministry in that day.
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no. It's an awesome fear of God.
Right.
So in this day, we need to recognize pride when we see it, okay? You know, we do it. And but like I said, you can't really see it because you're wearing it. You're the one with it. So I don't know totally. I'm still trying to figure out how.
Well, I think that's one thing you do. You actually have other people in your life.
Yes.
If you're an isolated person, that could be a sign.
Yes.
But the thing you have when you have relationships around you that speak truth to you, that you have a good relationship, they tell you.
Yeah.
They
help you out. Your wife will tell you when you got bad breath, and she'll tell you too.
Yes.
Yeah, she'll tell you too. The wife is there to help you, to help you be crucified, my friend, to die to self, okay?
Right.
I've heard that embarrassment is like flesh burning. The pride's going to be about the flesh. It's all about you being the king of self. Mm. That's the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. They are not of the Father, okay? Right. So that's about the best I can say.
Well, I know that one time I was, just trying to hear the Lord on a particular matter, and as God began to reveal to me about, you know, pride and what it is and that type of thing, I started saying, well, Lord, it's everywhere. Everywhere you look, it's just pride. You know, help us.
Yeah.
And the Lord says, don't look for pride.
Right.
He's look for humility.
Right.
Because humility is the opposite of pride.
Right.
So if you don't see humility, you're looking at pride.
Right.
And so humility is total dependency on God and respect.
Right. It
for
is.
For other people.
Yeah, there it is.
And I thought, wow, we just got to, instead of focusing on pride, it was just focus on things you've been talking about the whole time, calling out on God, depending on God, and just humbling ourselves again and again and again.
Right.
He's cool with it. We just have to remember that doing that. But I don't know. I'm not an expert on it either.
But
so
pride will keep you away from the Lord, see?
Yeah.
You're too proud to go to the altar. You're too proud. What comes in humility is when you say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, God.
He's okay with that.
Yes, he loves it. It's a daily thing. Okay, here's one of my favorite scriptures. Mm-hmm. Favorite scriptures. And I use it every time I went to the altar with a person coming there. Okay, it's John 1:9. Mm-hmm. If you'll confess your sin, he, that's talking about Jesus, he's faithful to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Right.
So where the humility comes is calling on the Lord, laying down your pride, call to Him. Yeah, whoever's hearing this out there, you need to call to Him.
Yeah, yeah. And I know, you know, Dr. Cho talks about, you know, praying the tabernacle prayer. And here he is, a man of largest church in South Korea. But every day he goes before, you know, in his heart and mind, walking in his mind towards the tabernacle prayer. But he gets to the cross, the brazen altar, he's like, oh, Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins.
Right.
Forgive me of what I may have thought. I mean, this is a man who's used mightily, but he's focused on the reality outside of repentance and forgiveness. I mean, it's okay.
Right.
Sometimes when people do that to a person, sometimes the person says, I'm not going to forgive you again.
Right.
Peter even said, how many times I got to forgive those folks, right? But God's like, hey, I'm in there. If you'll repent, if you will ask me to forgive you, I'll forgive you.
Yeah, he says 70 times 7, 490. It's not a number, it's a reality.
Yeah.
Jesus is the mercy seat. Yeah. You come to him daily seeking his mercy.
Thank God for his mercy. Listen, this is not over. Make sure you join us on our next program. We're going to continue to hear these amazing stories from this ordinary man, John Newland.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.